me. And I read the script again, and I let go of the question of prostitution and of the seedier side of sexuality, and I saw her much more as a person. And I thought, oh, well, the person I understand, the profession I didn't really understand and had trouble connecting with, but the person I understood, that she was a very feeling lady and lonely and giving in a lot of ways.
Something that struck me, though, was that your character never seems to consider another option. Either the love shared with Henry Winkler, who was one direction she can take, or being the call girl.
That she doesn't see anything in between.
Yeah, and Winkler even says, you're so bright, you know, can't there be something else that you can do? How does that strike? How does that reaction strike?
Well, that was an important exchange for us. And what's going on inside of me is, I've heard this a million times, and this is her choice. She has considered other options to some extent. There was a scene that was filmed and is not in the film that I used to develop the character. And she says that she came to New York to be an actress. And she explains some of her background, which I'm hoping that the elements of that scene get expressed in different ways throughout the picture, so that's the reason they didn't feel it was necessary to take the time to show it. But she didn't set out to be a prostitute. I don't know that any woman does. She set out, she had artistic goals, she came into a town, New York City, that totally overwhelmed her. I spoke with a prostitute. I interviewed with her. And we sat down and talked, and she really was very different from Belinda, but there were elements that I felt were helpful to build the character from my discussion with this woman.
Such as? What did you talk about?
We talked, oh God, it was one of the most bizarre conversations of my life. It was very frightening to me, actually. She was a person, first and foremost, and that's what I wanted to relate to. And she had a lot of doubts about herself and a lot of doubts about what she was doing. But the bottom line about all of it is that this is the way she was going to survive. It was a survival choice for her. She had worked in New York. I spoke with her here in Los Angeles, but fortunately we were able to find a lady who had worked in New York. And she made the choice after a bad romance. She was sort of out in the street alone, feeling really lost. And she was attractive to, you know, a couple of pimps. She didn't know them as pimps. Came up to her and said, hey, honey, where are you going? And they were nice to her and friendly to her and said they'd take care of her. And they had a great car. And she figured, well, hey, this could be all right. And she felt comfortable with who they appeared to be.
She was naive then.
She was very naive, she was very young, and like I say, very lost, and alone. And that combination makes all of us very vulnerable, and I think especially so women. And so it ended up, for her, it was like friends saying, hey, come on over here, we'll take care of you, and in the process saying, well, look, you have to give us something back for that too. And she got started on it and continued, and it was, you know, it's like getting stuck in a bad job, and you keep making excuses for yourself. Well, you're earning money, there are fringe benefits, and there are a lot of fringe benefits in this profession for women, you know. They get attention, and they're making money, and they allow themselves to do nice things for themselves, to buy clothes, to pamper themselves, to look nice, which our society says, you know, well, that's a benefit, that's okay. So it wasn't like it was such a horrendous choice to have been made. It seemed, I began to understand in talking with her why women make this choice, out of desperation, but also out of thinking, well, this is not so bad, and maybe she struggles a lot with the moral question of it, this woman that I spoke with. I think Belinda sort of put that aside.
By contrast with that sense of the street that we get in New York, you and your colleagues are very bright and sort of bubbly, almost innocent in many ways. I didn't sense a lot of street toughness and
right.
All of that. Now, was an obvious decision at some point along the line?
Absolutely. In fact, after I mentioned to Ron early, and that we had a couple of meetings during the rehearsal period, and I mentioned to him that I wanted to interview with a prostitute and talk with her. And he mentioned to me later, after I talked with the prostitute, that he was a little concerned about that, that I might bring in too many of the darker elements of that experience. And he trusted me enough, which is the key to that man. He knows when to trust. And he said, I figured you'd get enough out of it that would be just a few little things, that you wouldn't darken it so much that it wouldn't be a comedy film anymore. And realistically, yes, a lot of the dark elements of that profession are not in the film.
Were you torn by that? Because obviously you take the subject very seriously. Based on your feelings about this particular woman and perhaps generalizing on the whole question?
Well, you know, I feel that there's enough there. I get beat up in the film, and it's pretty obvious that it doesn't feel so good, that I'm hurt, not only physically, but something inside is a little wounded, too. I mean, I'm so glad that the scene remains after Henry finds me in the elevator, because you see me, I'm hurt. It's pretty hard to make light of it, even though I try. And that I don't know if you saw it, but I do coarsen and toughen the minute the discussion of, well, you're bright, you could do other...
Yeah.
It's like, just let me get through this, Jack. You know, we're not talking new professions here. I got to take care of myself. I do take this all seriously, I know. But, you know, you have to do that in comedy. You have to believe. Your character has to believe that it's all real and that it sinks in deeply. Otherwise, those wonderful little moments of playing the reality of a scene and making people identify with it don't happen. So when I start to talk about all of this, it sounds much more serious than what you're going to see. But all those things are there. Now, they may be there very deep underneath, or they may come forward a little bit more, but they're all there to make it work, so that you see the seamy side, and then you find a place to put it that's appropriate. Probably not on your sleeve, probably inside a little deeper, but it still has to be there to color the reality of who the lady is.
One of the things I like most about the film is that sense of, well, I'll use the word new young talent, although obviously you know how long you've been working, all the experience that's gone by. But to a lot of the viewers, including me, new talent up there on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
A nice sense of camaraderie then with Michael Keaton.
Did you work with him before?
Yeah.
With Michael?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I've known Michael because we sort of started in this town, I think, at about the same time. I remember I came out late 77, moved here early 78, and he was one of the first comedians I saw work at the Comedy Store, and I said to myself, that guy's got a lot of potential, even more than potential, he's got a lot. And I saw Robin Williams work before he became, so there's that camaraderie. Also Michael, which I didn't know, worked at the Second City for a while out here when there was a Second City at the Pasadena Playhouse, I think, or something. Yes, tremendous camaraderie. There, and I had never worked with Henry before, but there was an immediate connection when I met Ron and the producer, Brian Grazer. We had an immediate connection. The next day they asked Henry to meet me. That worked beautifully. And I didn't really work with Michael that much. Now, Michael was around a lot, and I was around a lot. We don't have many scenes together. But there was a real family on this show, and I don't know, I guess we actors talk about that a lot, because that's a reason I think that I'm in the business, that I liked the family feel of the theater, which is where I started. But it doesn't always happen.
Yeah, I was wondering if there are fewer and fewer opportunities now for so much young talent to get together and to make a movie, like they used to say in the old musicals. Let's get together and put
make
on a show.
Movie.
I mean, that's getting
I'll
harder
get the bunting
to do.
Out of my dad's basement and we can
without the big
put
budgets,
on a show.
The big budgets and the big celebs and all that, it's getting more difficult, isn't it? I mean, have you encountered this sort of problem before?
Yeah.
Breaking in?
Sure. there are so few opportunities to make movies in general, that even the bigger established stars aren't working as much as they would like to be. So for those of us who don't have a name and a reputation at the box office, I mean, I've developed, I think, a very nice reputation within the industry of being a competent actress, but the audiences don't necessarily know that.
Or care.
Pardon me?
Or care, perhaps.
Or maybe care, right. I mean, it's not like a producer can go to a studio and say, well, I'm going to...
You're not a telephone name yet?
A telephone name?
It's when, you know, you can sell someone over the telephone.
Oh, over the telephone. No, obviously not. So, yes, I feel very fortunate that this happened. That all the way around, it was just a real special group of people. And the studios don't give producers and directors the opportunities to do a lot of little films. So, yeah, it was real special.
Are you satisfied with the blend of comedy and seriousness?
In this film? Yes, I think it works very well. For the most part, it's a comedy, but it's rooted in real feelings and real situations.
I was just wondering if, in hindsight, you could share with us something about maybe something that could have worked better, in your opinion, or should have been left out or should have been included. Using hindsight.
Huh. For example, I understand why the scene where I explained that I came to New York to be an actress was cut. It is a serious scene. It's a expository scene. It explains a lot. And if you can do that in a nonverbal way, if I can say something of who I am without saying who I am in words, then it's better that way. There's so much more going on in the film experience and in most of the performing arts than just words. So whatever colors you bring to a performance are adding the serious quality, are adding the reality, that I don't think you necessarily have to have a scene that says this side of the prostitution question. Now, I think that's handled pretty well in the scene with Henry and Michael, where Michael's saying, hey, see this guy? About ready to go into this movie, which, by the way, is not a bad picture. And the guy, by the way, who's going into the movie is the executive producer, which is why you heard some titters. I think it's real easy for... As I was intimidated and a little confused on the question of prostitution, it's a difficult question. It's especially for a woman. But I feel that the issue for a comedy film is presented very well.
That's why it's really very ambitious, that kind of blend that they're trying to work for.
Yes.
I'm not sure it always works, but certainly it works enough of the time that you've got to give a lot of credit to the people that could pull that off. Because you're right, that's a tough subject to play around.
I think so. You know, I mean, they get caught and they get slapped around. Everybody does. It's real dangerous stuff. But in the meantime, I really think that so much of this film doesn't have anything to do with prostitution. And maybe that's why it works, that it really is about a group of people looking for themselves, looking to find some different parts of themselves. And Henry's trying to find a career and a relationship that makes him feel whole, and is trying to find wholeness to himself that will allow him to have a career and a relationship. It's sort of a continuous process. Michael's looking to make it in life, and I am too. I'm trying to survive in a way that feels right. And somehow that combination comes together, and we help each other. And that seems to be a really classic experience that everybody goes through in one form or another.
You seem to have this very well thought out in terms of all these elements. I'm curious if there was an ongoing discussion with
we took
Howard.
Night shift 101.
Yeah.
We had lectures from 10 until 12. And then we agreed on the...
Was there a collaboration on that?
Well, I'll tell you something. We had trouble with the scene where Henry calls me a whore. And then I turn and say, no. He says, well, I'm not a whore. And I say, no, you're a pimp. That was a very difficult scene. I don't think any of us would have anticipated how difficult it was. We reshot the scene. That's where a lot of this discussion took place. Now, not all the things I've said grew out of that discussion, but we had to go back to point one in a way and say, well, what is this film about? And it covered all those issues. It covered the issue of prostitution. What does she want in that scene? Well, I think what she wants when she says, well, what happens to me then? Where do I go after that? When he says, well, why don't... You know, what she's waiting for is, does he want to make a commitment?
Yeah, I was sensing...
Does he want to send her to law school?
I was sensing kind of an old-fashioned sentiment.
Yeah, you're right.
Now we are
That's
in love,
exactly.
That means marriage.
He's saying, look, honey, don't fool around with anybody else. Don't take care of yourself in terms of supporting yourself. Just give all that up because we're in love, all right? And she's saying, okay, what does that mean?
well,
then where do I...
Was sort of a test, was it not? You were testing.
I think
to see
it was.
What
I think
do.
It was. Sure, absolutely. There are all kinds of things going on in that
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, really.
I'm testing. I'm waiting. I'm also proceeding, just in case the sky falls in, as it has fallen in a lot of times for Belinda. I mean, obviously, the lady's been around a little bit. She's not 17 years old. She probably was pretty young, about maybe 18 or 19 when she came to New York. So she's been around. And she's tried this. Some part of her, yes, has a very old-fashioned instinct. I think that's a part of every lady, and sometimes it's very deeply buried. But it's coming out in her because he has been nurturing that on sort of an unconscious level since she met him. He's been taking care of her. He's been considerate to her. I mean, right off the bat, you know, he introduces himself to her. She's a hooker. What does the guy say to me? She's a hooker. And Henry turns to him and says, how do you do?
Yes.
And that red, do you remember my expression, which is, she
is
hears
guy?
That, she likes it, but it's like, who is this guy? You know, she's not used to being treated like that. One of the things in my research of prostitutes is that they stay to themselves. They don't have friends other than some of the other people in their profession. Women are often very dependent upon their pimps for that reason. They are so easily misunderstood and judged very harshly by the outside world, so they stay to themselves. So this is very unusual for somebody outside of the profession to ever so subtly, without asking for anything from her, give her something, give her some respect, some kind attention. So this has been growing in her. I mean, the first time, there's another little take that isn't there, but when Henry says, when he gets all embarrassed because she recognizes him, and he doesn't want the cop to think that he fools around, and he's showing pictures, and this is my fiance, and I never would come in contact with the... And then he says, and I say, oh, I'm sorry, I thought your face looked familiar. He says, well, a lot of people have my face. And what I did in the scene is that I said very clearly, no, that there was something about him that was special from that first moment. And I wasn't willing to really... totally open up to it, because too much has gone down for my character. But she knows, right then.
Do you express these opinions on the set? It strikes me you have very strong opinions about what your character's about. I'm curious how you work as an actress.
Well, you must understand that we've done it all now, see? So that process is complete.
Can you flash back to what it was like going through the
Well,
the
you're finding things much more. While you're making the film. You haven't done all the scenes, so you don't have all the data from doing the scenes. That's why, in a way, it was so wonderful to redo this argument scene with Henry, because we'd done so much more of what happens before it, which is such a killer with film. Because you do discover things. Things happen as you do the scene, as you film it, and you can't always anticipate what that's going to be.
More things happen than when you watch it later. What had happened in the scene previously?
Well, we'd done the love scene. We just made love, you know, the night before we just made love. And that whole sequence actually was done, I think, the same week, the tearing the clothes off and the bathtub scene the first time we did it had not been done yet. So you begin to understand on a visceral level, on a feeling level, how tough it is for both of them, having made this beautiful connection after waiting all this time. He says, ever since you took your robe off, I've been going crazy. And ever since she first saw him, she's been wondering, who is this guy? He respects me. Who is? So this has been building, building, building. Finally, they come together. They make a wonderful connection. And then this scene where it has to be tested right away. She knows it. It's happened to her before. Where a guy, she makes a connection with a guy, it feels good, and then he says, so are you going to give up? You're not going to be a hooker anymore, right? And then she has to go through that, well, what do I do if I'm not? you know, who pays the rent then? And because she is unskilled, I mean, it's not like, and she also, I know sometimes it seems like getting into another profession or making a change is easy, but in my experience it's not. It's very frightening that when something's familiar, even if it's painful, even if the what's familiar is pain, that sometimes that familiarity is so seductive and controlling that it holds you there and you feel incapable of doing anything else.
Except to be an actor or an actress, that kind of feeling I would think would be a real curse. I mean, you must, right? You must avoid that sort of settling in.
Oh.
At all costs, maybe. For example, Henry Winkler's roles in movies are quite distinct from what he does on television.
Right.
Very little crossover.
Well, but see, you don't settle into a role, I don't think. I haven't felt that yet. Now, I haven't played, I'm just starting a TV series.
Well, that's
series.
The point. You don't want to settle into anything, really, do you?
Well, what you settle into, though, is a ease at being, at letting go and focusing at the same time in front of the camera. And that's an ongoing process. I learned a lot about that on this picture. I've done three other pictures before this, theatrical feature films, and I guess three or four TV movies and a lot of episodic work. But this was something really shifted for me in this picture, that I felt much more open and much more focused at the same time in front of the camera. So that's
Why?
Something that you want to settle into. I mean, that you want to be able to find.
What was it that clicked?
Yeah, the why. In other words, what happened for you?
I think it was a lot of things. It was, I had just finished a picture, so I was in the rhythm of it. And also, I was working with a very supportive group of people who not only were supportive of me as a person, but were supportive of me as an artist, as somebody who had something to offer. And Ron, as I say, is very open to suggestions. You know, he'll open the floor for suggestions, and then he'll close it down, which is entirely appropriate for a director, and say, okay, I've heard everybody, everybody's had a say, all right, fine, this is what it's going to be. He makes the decision. That's a wonderful environment for an artist to work in, for an actor to work in, because you can bring your ideas, you can try them, many of them, but then there's someone who has an overview of what's going on who can say what's right and what isn't right, what should be tried. And even if it feels at the time like he's made a wrong decision, you have to trust that he's the one in control, that he's the one that's really...
What's the TV series you do?
It's called Cheers. It'll be on NBC this fall. Did I answer your question about getting stuck in things?
Yeah, you were looking at it in a different way than I was.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it in terms of maybe choosing a particular type of role.
Uh-huh.
And then you become so identified with it, it becomes difficult then later to break out. Obviously, that you would want to avoid.
Right. See, I've had the opposite problem. I have done so many diverse roles that people can't string them together. That if I would name to you some of the things I've done, you'd say, oh, I saw that. And you're saying basically to me, this is young talent, you haven't really seen me. I did a film called The Cracker Factor with Natalie Wood. I did an episode of Trapper John. That's true, where I play an ex-convict. I did an episode of MASH, where I play the nurse that he sets up a date with. That Hawkeye sets up a date with, and then he decides to go off booze, and there we are, and I'm drinking wine, and he's being a real prude about the whole thing, and I throw a fit. I'm just trying to think of some. I've played. Pardon me.
You played a role with you.
Oh, in Caveman? Actually, I had a lot to say. I think I was very talkative with my grunts and groans. Yes, I played last summer I did a very intellectual role. I played a psychiatrist in a movie with Valerie Bertinelli called The Princess and the Cabbie. I did a role on stage here with Master Simone's play, The Wool Gatherer, where I play this woman who has no education and really hasn't developed her intellect at all, is totally vulnerable, is sort of locked in a timeless warp of some kind. So I've gone all over the place, and people have trouble putting it together.
Okay,